No talking points, no spin, it's politics you can't put down. This is Still Standing with Michael Caputo.
Hi, it's Michael Caputo again. Thanks for listening to Still Standing. Again, you know you can find this this podcast and some of the videos that I do each week, as well as a little bit of blogging now and then at stillstandingpodcast.com. I want to thank our executive producers, Brian Pazdurski, Mike Daniel Markey, Darcy Swenson, George Noonan, Julie, Samantha Lynn, Sonia Carlin, Stephen Flaminio, Thomas Fulton, and, of course, Jeff Vogel. These folks are all very helpful by supporting us at patreon.com. That's really important. It helps us keep this thing going. And go on, we shall. Of course, we've all been talking about this Covington High School drama, Covington Catholic High School out of Kentucky. They were approached by a Native American leftist activist on the mall of the Lincoln Memorial, the plaza of the Lincoln Memorial, after the March for Life. And it was kind of over the weekend and turned into a complete and absolute viral nightmare. Nightmare for the Covington Catholic High School boys and their parents and just about anybody who didn't buy into the absolute ridiculous narrative that was built by this Native American activist who came up on the boys after the March for Life. Now, this guy's name who did this, Phillips, is a well-known leftist activist who has complained about other people's treatment of him in the past, especially young boys, or at least young men, and has been protesting on the steps of the Trump International Hotel in Washington in 2017, a well-known activist. And he decided, as these boys were doing school cheers, chants, on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, waiting for their bus to load up after the March for Life and go home, that he'd approach them. They were getting harassed by a small group of, I don't know what they call them, black Hebrew Israelites, actually a bunch of bullies. I've seen those guys in Washington. I've seen these same guys in Washington. They go out there and taunt people and try and get into fights. I suspect if you saw their arrest records, it'd be pretty colorful, but these black Hebrew Israelites were causing these kids some agita, and they asked their adult chaperones if they could do their school chants to try and, you know, drown out the profanity and insults, you know, anti-LGBT insults. If you listened to the tapes, you could say, I'm not going to go through this whole thing because, you know, pretty much everyone knows what went down. But I want to look at a couple of things that people aren't looking at. First of all, this, of course, they were attacked, and because they were wearing those red hats, after this guy, this, you know, the Native American elder, as they say, a guy named Phillips, you know, after his pal edited it down to make it look bad, they were accused of harassing him while he was doing some sacred drum thing. I don't know what it is, but he apparently does it anywhere Donald Trump's name appears. I don't have any idea about this guy, but I do know one thing. He claims to be a Vietnam veteran, and apparently that's not as true as he wants everybody to believe. Vietnam veteran, and people are starting to wonder how a 64-year-old who would have been 18 years old just as the war ended calls himself a Vietnam War vet. Also, you know, some other things are looking kind of fishy about it. What's fishy, first of all, is that he lied about his encounter with those boys. Lied about it. Completely. You know, I can go through it with you if you want, but you know what he did. And anybody on the left who still tries to point to the boys as some kind of bigoted examples of white privilege, MAGA privilege, anybody who's still saying that, you can pretty much rule them out as someone who's reasonable. All the people who went after them, the blue checkmark people, the verified journalists and such on Twitter who condemned them are now all backing off of it. The Twitter account that initially accused him of this and started passing it around has been suspended. Everybody is turning their back on that initial narrative, except for people who absolutely freak out when they see a red hat. A lot of little clues out there about this guy, Nathan Phillips. Not going to jump to conclusions, but I'm looking forward to the good work done by thisainthell.us. This whole blog, thisainthell.us, is devoted to exposing people who claim that they're combat vets or military veterans and are not. They do it reasonably and logically. They do it by putting in freedom of information requests for people's military records. They're not going to get caught out accusing someone of stolen valor if, in fact, that person did serve in the military. Sometimes they find that somebody's just exaggerating their military service. They expose that, too. I'm not going to jump to conclusions like the people who condemned those high school boys from Covington Catholic High School. But stay tuned to thisainthell.us. We're going to find out the truth about Nathan Phillips, the Vietnam War veteran, calls himself a recon ranger, which, by the way, no Marine veteran, even if they served in recon, would call themselves a recon ranger. Ranger, by the way, is an Army term. I do want to say something else as well, and I think this is important. Getting off the Nathan Phillips part of this and into something I think is even more important. I believe we need to expose anyone who claims they're military and they're not. I think if you know, Nathan Phillips is not military, I think that should be exposed. But, you know, maybe he is, and he's just on the other side of the political coin here, and that's okay, you know. And maybe he just decided he wanted to wade into a group of boys doing their school cheers and taunt them because they had red hats on. That's not okay, frankly. In fact, it's pretty disgusting. If I was 16 years old and my father was there as a chaperone and saw this 64-year-old creepy guy taunting a group of teenage boys, my dad would have basically pulled him out of there. No doubt, I think my dad would have been polite about it, but maybe not. I don't know. It's pretty sick what he did, if you ask me. And then editing that video down, setting these boys up, and now their school is closed today. Their Catholic school is closed today because of death threats and violence threats. And there are leftists protesting outside that school today. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This comes on the heels of Vice President Mike Pence's wife being called out for working for a Christian school that doesn't believe that believes in a marriage is between a man and a woman. They have every right in the world to believe that. That was, you know, basically American orthodoxy. Even Barack Obama believed that up until 2014. So somehow or another, Mrs. Pence, the second lady, you might say, is not a good person because she works in a Christian school. Within a couple of days, within 24 hours after the left attacking her and the school that she worked for, they are now attacking the Covington, Kentucky Catholic school, all boys school. And this is not, by the way, not a coincidence. Catholicism was decried in a Senate hearing. So some judicial nominees were criticized for being members of Catholic layman organizations. This is not a coincidence. It's not at all. Of course, the left doesn't believe in religion. Of course, the left thinks that religion should be completely banned from government. And of course, you know, these, you know, secular activists like apparently this guy Phillips, who believes in, you know, his Native American religion, but apparently does not appreciate Catholicism. We're under fire, and I'll tell you why. This narrative is not coincidental. What's happening right now is we're seeing the run-up to the next Supreme Court nominee. That's right. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I've said this before on my podcast, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is sick. God bless her. I hope she remains alive for 100 years, but she won't. She's elderly, sick, just had part of her lung removed, got pneumonia after that. They've said that she's not going to work through the month of February, and that her staff, her legal aides, are going to run her program from her justice office at the Supreme Court. The fact is, anybody will tell you that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is elderly, not well, and not able to do her work as a Supreme Court justice. God forbid she should pass, but I'll tell you what, if she passes or not, she's going to have to stop and retire as a Supreme Court justice, and that will be the third Supreme Court justice that Donald Trump is able to nominate and confirm. And that is going to be wildly opposed by the leftists, wildly opposed by the resistance crowd. You saw it happen with Kavanaugh. It's going to happen. Kavanaugh was a dress rehearsal for this. And here is how it's going to go down. We all pretty much know that that Donald Trump wanted to nominate Amy Coney Barrett, a Catholic judge, a conservative judge, but he took the advice of others saying that Brett Kavanaugh should be nominated because he's a bit more of a moderate and would be much more acceptable to the Democrats in the Senate. But, of course, he wasn't. They tried to murder his reputation, failed in doing so, but really ran him and his family and his children through the ringer. So how will they stop Amy Coney Barrett? Well, first of all, it looks like they're going to attack her for her Catholicism. She is a devout Catholic and raises, I think she's got 9 kids. I mean, raises many kids in Catholic schools. And they're going to attack her for her Catholicism. That's what we're looking at here, an attack on Catholicism, on Christianity, on Catholic schools. My kids go to a Christian school. It's a Catholic school for my 6-year-old. My 4-year-old will go to the Catholic school in our neighborhood as well. They're great schools. They're much better than public schools, certainly much better than the public school in my neighborhood, which is one of the best public schools in the state of New York. They're just, it's like Lord of the Flies in these public schools, and my kids will not participate in that. They will go to a Catholic school where I believe they're taught morals as well as good behavior, as well as, science, technology, engineering, math, all those STEM programs, reading, writing, art, music. They're after the Catholics. And that's because of the president's third nomination to the Supreme Court. They are going to impeach the president, ladies and gentlemen. Take my word for it. They're going to do that, if for no other reason, to stop him from successfully nominating and confirming a third justice to the Supreme Court, which will change the court for at least a generation. They cannot stand this idea, the left. This is anathema. And I'll tell you, the protests we saw during the Kavanaugh hearings and the Kavanaugh confirmation, they're going to pale in comparison to what we're going to see. Because what they're going to do, they're going to impeach the president for whatever comes out of the Mueller report. That's why Mueller is shutting it down. They're going to give them the report and all the ammunition they need to impeach the president. And remember, impeachment, is going to be due to a high crime or misdemeanor. And who gets to define what a high crime or misdemeanor is? It's the majority in the House of Representatives. It could be jaywalking. They will impeach the president. Now, I don't think the Senate's going to try and convict him. They will acquit him. They will not remove him from office, but the House will impeach him, and they will begin those proceedings as soon as they possibly can after Ruth Bader Ginsburg is declared unable to conduct her duties as a justice of the Supreme Court, or, God forbid, as soon as she passes. That's a fact. They're going to say Donald Trump must not be permitted to nominate and confirm a justice to the United States Supreme Court while he is being impeached. They're going to put out that spin on the media, and then the compliant resistance media will absolutely repeat it. They will absolutely repeat it. They will attack the president because they're putting him under impeachment. He can't be allowed to nominate another justice of the Supreme Court. And they're going to attack Amy Coney Barrett because of her Catholicism. They can't accuse her of sexual harassment, sexual assault. They can't trot in a bunch of fake accusers like they did to Brett Kavanaugh. They can't ruin her and her family. They will attack her devout Catholicism. They will call her outside the mainstream. They will say that she is a radical Catholic. And that's why we're looking at the Covington Catholic High School issue today. That's why we looked at Vice President Pence's wife, Karen Pence, the second lady, being derided for working for a private Christian school. This is what it's all about. It is an orchestrated assault on normal America, designed to, in the end, stop the president from nominating and confirming a third justice to the Supreme Court. That's my opinion. You might not agree. But these poor boys at the Covington Catholic High School, the private high school in Northern Kentucky, are caught in the crossfire. And I think all of us should stand up in defense of them. I'll tell you what, as a Catholic school father, I stand up for them proudly. Now look, I was once a teenager. I was once a teenage boy. Somewhere inside this body is the heart of a teenage boy. And when I was a teenager, I acted like an idiot a lot. We all do. And I'm sure these boys act like idiots a lot. But none of what they're being accused of is true. We need to stand up for this, these boys. We need to stand up to this these attacks. We need to identify those who are trying to make sure that these boys are unsafe as what they are. They're unreasonable leftists. Anybody who says that the Covington High School boys were in any way trying to intimidate this Native American leftist activist, who we're going to find out, I believe, soon, was never a Vietnam veteran and may not be a veteran at all. Who knows? Anybody who says that they're guilty of what they are initially accused of is an unreasonable person. That's my opinion. It all comes down to Amy Coney Barrett. Mark my words. And if you think the craziness during, if you liked what was going down, the protests and nut jobs running through the halls of the Senate, if you like that during the Kavanaugh hearings, you're going to love what goes down during the Amy Coney Barrett hearings. It's going to make that look like child's play. Somebody's going to get hurt. God forbid somebody's going to get killed. They're not playing around. That was just a dress rehearsal. Still standing.
Please remain standing. We'll be right back.
So about last night, I've gotten a lot of questions about last night, the MSNBC panel on The Beat with Ari Melber that included me, Carter Page, Sam Nunberg, and Jerry Corsi. It really surprised a lot of people. In fact, it surprised me, and I'll tell you why. But Ari put this panel together across the space of a week or so and didn't tell anybody he was doing it. I don't think it's ever been done before. Now, I've been on with Carter Page via satellite with Sean Hannity once, and people thought that was interesting to see two witnesses in the Mueller investigation on the same show. But to have four witnesses on the same show in studio, I guess that was pretty remarkable because it really lit up social media. But it came together across the space of a week or so. I think Ari thought this up a week or 10 days ago. I first heard from Ari about a week or plus, you know, a week or 9 days ago. He told me he thought the Mueller investigation is coming to a close. He wanted to do a special show about it, have some people in, and would I be interested in coming into the studio in New York? And I like Ari. I've been on his show a couple of times. It's hard to be on MSNBC if we're Republican, especially a Trump supporter. The insults and even the death threats come rolling in on Twitter when anybody from the Trump side appears on MSNBC. But I like Ari a lot. I like some of the folks over at MSNBC. Katie Turr, I really like a lot. A couple other shows there. Ari, I think, is very fair. And when he asked me, I thought, well, all right. I mean, actually, to be in studio, it's a lot better, a lot more
you know, the interview that comes out of it tends to be better, tends to be stronger. I tend to perform better when I'm face to face with somebody in studio. I think everybody does. This whole TV gig is not something I do, you know, I've been doing for a long, long time. I'm in media relations and I know a bunch about media, but you don't really know what you don't know until you're sitting in a studio with a guy like Ari Melber. But anyway, I wanted to give it a shot, and I said, well, so what kind of a format? And he was kind of, well, let's think about that. We're still trying to put it together. I'll put y'all with my producer over the next several days, and we'll work this thing out. So I thought, yeah, sure, you know. I talked to Ari one more time before the show was put together, but really, until the day of the show, I really didn't know what the format was going to be. At first, they were going to tape it, and, you know, coming up 3-4 days before the show, they had booked me a flight early in the day, I guess with the plan to tape it around 3 or so. But luckily, they changed that at the last minute because I spent 3.5 hours in the airport as my flight from Buffalo to New York City was enduring one delay after another after another. Now, I wasn't the reason they went live instead of to tape. That apparently was decided without my input, but thank goodness they did because I wouldn't have made it at all. In fact, when I finally made it to the studio, they had just enough time to slap makeup on my ugly mug and put me in the studio. And it wasn't until I was at the airport in Buffalo during my delay that I actually found out who was going to be on. Now, were Ari and his producer, Justin, trying to hide that from me? I don't think so. Well, I mean, I think they were keeping it secret because they didn't want it leaked out. They know I've got a big mouth on Twitter, that's for sure. And, I, you know, when they finally did tell me, look, it's going to be you, Sam Nunberg, you know, Dr. Corsi, and Carter Page, you know, I about dropped my phone. I started laughing so loud after Justin told me that on the phone in the airport lounge in Buffalo, at the Buffalo airport, that everybody looked at me. I mean, you know, Buffalo is a small town. A lot of people there recognize me from my support for the president. That can be good and that can be bad. But they definitely heard me laughing because I could not believe that they had actually put this thing together. Now, Justin, I think at first I kind of made him nervous because I can imagine that Justin and Ari were a little concerned that springing this, you know, the members of the panel on each member of the panel late in the game, you know, things can fall apart. You know, I might say, no, I don't want to appear with Carter Page or, you know, Sam Nunberg or Jerry Corsi. There's a lot of reasons to not want to appear with them. You know, first of all, Jerry Corsi, he's saying things to the special counsel against my longtime and very close friend, Roger Stone. He's actually steering him kind of maybe, you know, unknowingly, but certainly directly. Dr. Corsi is trying to, you know, say things, I think a lot of it's lies, that will push Roger towards some kind of bogus perjury charge and certainly impacts Roger's reputation. I won't go into what those things are. That's all, you know, something for another topic, another podcast. But I didn't really want to appear on a panel with Jerry Corsi. And then I thought, if I appear with Jerry Corsi, at least I get a chance on a live television show to tell him what I think about his lies regarding Roger Stone. So check that box. Sure, I'll go in the studio. Secondly, Sam Nunberg, who has also, you know, been anti-Trump and pro-Trump off and on, and also has gotten into it with Roger Stone. Do I want to appear on the panel with Sam Nunberg? Well, you know, I've known Sam a long time, and I know he's been crossways with the president, but he had a big role in positioning the president to run as a candidate across 2014, 2015. And even though he got into arguments and even a lawsuit with the Trump campaign, I really never lost my my affection for Sam Nunberg. Sam, I know he and Roger upset at each other, and he's done some things and said some things about Roger, and by the way, vice versa, that have got each other and, you know, kind of jammed up. But Sam Nunberg, I mean, above anything and all things, Sam really left his heart in Trump Tower. He really did. He loved being on the Trump campaign. He wanted to be a part of it so much. I think he, you know, really authentically is indeed, you know, really likes Donald Trump. And when he got fired because of what he says is Corey Lewandowski's, you know, scheming, he never really got over it. And he left his heart in Trump Tower. And I hope someday he finds it again. He's been unhappy since that day he left the tower. But, you know, he's doing okay. He's succeeding. I've worked with him running up to Election Day. So I didn't have a problem appearing with Sam Nunberg. I consider Sam a friend, even though he and Roger are still crossways. And Carter Page, you know, there are people out there who think Carter Page is this, that, or the other thing. I, you know, initially when Carter Page came up as the first name to kind of legitimize this bogus Russia investigation, I was pissed off. Like, what is this guy doing going to Russia when he's an advisor to the Trump campaign? Why is he talking about, you know, being an informal advisor to the Kremlin in some of his biographies and such? And at first I was like, who is this guy? I mean, he's really got us all kind of jammed up over this Russia stuff. And he was kind of a, you know, obscure advisor on the foreign, you know, on the policy committee. And, you know, as time went on, I realized that Carter Page, you know, his country really failed him. This whole FISA warrant process and the things they did to Carter Page, he got the worst of this whole thing. Now, of course, Paul Manafort's in prison and others have been punished and found guilty and will go to prison or in, you know, in some kind of a problem or another. I feel badly most of all for Paul Manafort, but Carter Page really got just put through the ringer, put through the meat grinder on this thing. And for some reason, and I don't know why, Carter Page keeps smiling through the whole thing. You know, a lot of people are out there like, he's some kind of doofus. You know, he's goofy. He's not goofy. Let me tell you something. If you can sit without an attorney for hours upon hours with congressional investigators and Mueller investigators and not get yourself indicted or charged with some kind of crime, I don't care if you've committed a crime or not. You know, you can, if you talk for hours to these people, they're going to get you for making a false statement because you say one thing one way and then, you know, 40 hours later, say another thing another way. I think that's probably what happened to Dr. Corsi. But you got to not only be really smart, which I think authentically Carter Page is probably brilliant, but you also have to have some kind of a, you know, a remarkable memory to be able to recall exactly what you said as an answer to a question weeks and weeks later, especially without an attorney. Without an attorney, I would never do that. So while he and I appeared on Sean Hannity some time ago, I'd never gotten a chance to meet him, and I was really glad to have the opportunity to meet Carter Page face to face. You know, he's also a Navy guy, and as an Army guy, you know, there are not a lot of veterans on presidential campaigns, not a lot of veterans on the Trump campaign, and it was good to be able to meet him. So, you know, this whole thing was sprung on me on my way to New York. I kind of thought something was fishy. I didn't know if they were trying to trap me. I didn't think Ari would try to trap me. I knew something was up, though. So when they told me the component, you know, the guests on this panel, I quickly got past the idea of, you know, maybe I don't want to appear on this panel with this person or that person. And I saw the newsworthy value in this. You know who I was actually really worried about here was Ari Melber. Because his audience hates Trump people. And having one Trump person on his show, it, you know, they just go after him. You shouldn't have that person on. That guy's going to jail. Ah, kill that guy, you know. But not just one, but four. I had no idea how Ari was going to survive this with the freaks that watch MSNBC. So I was fine with it. I showed up finally just about a half an hour before the show started at 30 Rockefeller and got in there, and Carter was there. I got a chance to meet him. Dr. Corsi was there. That was kind of an awkward situation because I knew, you know, I knew him from the Human Events days. He wrote for Human Events, a great conservative newspaper from the Reagan era. I wrote for Human Events too, and we didn't know each other, but we had careened off of each other here and there, working for Tom Winter and Alan Riskin, two legendary conservatives in Washington, D.C., 80s and 90s. 70s even, those guys were real stalwarts of the conservative movement. But, you know, I'm meeting Jerry Corsi. He's introducing me to his nephew and in the green room. And I don't like what he's doing with Roger Stone. And I can't hide that kind of sentiment. I knew it was all over my face. And Jerry was trying to be kind and wanted to exchange cards. And I was just kind of creeped out about it because, you know, I knew that on TV I was going to take a swat at him. I didn't want to, you know, KO the guy. But I wanted the audience and Ari and everyone, the world, to know that I don't appreciate what Jerry Corsi's doing. And by the way, like I said on television, I think the Mueller team is forcing him to say these things. And I feel really sorry for Jerry Corsi. I feel he's kind of stumbled into something that he is really getting ground up in. It's unfair. I hope he survives. But, you know, to try and drag down Roger Stone in the meantime, forget it. I'm not going to stand for that. I'm not going to sit quietly by on a panel and not even mention it. And then Sam Nunberg showed up a little bit later. He lives in Manhattan, so he just kind of popped in, and everybody got their makeup, and we got on the set, and we're sitting in these red chairs in the newsroom part of Ari Melber's team, and they're in there with a Steadicam and a still photographer, and it felt like quite a big deal. I guess it was a big deal. It's never been done before. And we were promoted live sitting in these couches or these red chairs. Carter Page had this crazy black bucket hat he wears everywhere. He was insisting on getting photos taken with him and Ari, which I thought was pretty funny, with that bucket hat. And we took still photos together, and it really felt like a pretty special event. And then it went by like a flash. It really did. 40 minutes on camera on MSNBC. That should have been torture. It should have been like I said last night, like a proctology appointment. But it was a lot of fun. And I like these guys. I felt badly for Jerry Corsi, but it is what it is. And of course, after we got off the air, I had to take off and split for Miami Beach. I almost got stuck in an airport again for another 3 hours. Can you imagine that? 7 hours in airports just to appear on this panel for 40 minutes. I'm not quite sure that would have been worth it, but luckily I got another flight out down here to Miami Beach. What a night that was. And boy, did social media come down on all of us, all the Ari Melber fans, comparing us to the Stooges and, you know, four convicts, the usual suspects. I mean, just terrible insults, talking about how fat I've gotten. And well, I got to admit, I've gained some weight through this whole process. And, you know, the one thing that's really important to understand is, you know, I may have gained some weight. I can always lose that weight. But the people who point it out are always going to be stupid. So the beat with Ari Melber, what a fun time that was. I enjoyed it. I hopefully this Mueller thing passes and all four of us can move on. Yeah, about last night, in one word, fun. A lot of fun. Anyway, listen, you guys have a great week. My name's Michael Caputo. This is Still Standing. Don't forget to check us out at stillstandingpodcast.com. Subscribe on iTunes and support us on patreon.com if you like it. And I'll be checking you out next week.